Praise the Lord. Boy, it's good to be saved, ain't it? You know, there's so much to thank Him for. That song said that, thank Him for what He brought me from, but also thank Him for what He kept me from. There's a lot of things that a lot of the guys I run around with is dead and gone. They didn't make the change, and they didn't live as long. Now, I may not make it tomorrow, but I thank God for what He's kept me from. And praise Him this morning for His goodness. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Brother Dennis, would you do me a favor? I forgot my lapel mic, and I'd like to have this one recorded this morning. If you would get it for me and bring it to me. Anyone else have anything on your heart? If you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. And at the end of Jewish feast, last night just wound up Yom Kippur. It was the Day of Atonement. Wednesday before last started, and it was Rosh Hashanah. That's the Feast of Trumpets. And then the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is the 10 days of all that the Jews really pour their heart out to the Lord, because the Day of Atonement was the feast that started Friday and ended yesterday, is the feast of you might as well say judgment. The Jews believed that this was the time that God would open up the books and He would look and He would judge the folks. And the 10 days in there before the year, this is at the beginning of the Jewish year, and at the beginning of the year, they would pour their hearts out to God and repent. And they still do it. And they pour their hearts out like they have never poured their hearts out before, because they know that judgment is coming. And folks, today that God judgment is coming. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And there's judgment coming. And as we look around this world, and it don't matter which side of the fence you're on, whether you stand for the anthem or you don't, or you kneel or whatever, there's one thing that everybody's going to do. They're not going to stand and give an account to God if they stood for the flag. They're going to stand and give an account of what they've done with the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, and they're going to give an account for every evil word, every idle thought, and every deed that's ever done. And that is as true as anything. And this Jewish festival here stirs our minds up to, folks, judgment is coming. And wanted to mention that a few minutes to get us in our mindset. See, when we start into this message, I've preached it before. I preached it at a revival service, and I preached it just not too long ago. And it is one that stirs your heart. It's one that gets you down, way down deep. And I want us this morning, in light, and we look at this message, and we think about this message this morning and what God's speaking to us. I want us to keep in mind that judgment is coming. It's not going to be long till God will say, go gather my children. And they'll be the ones that believes unto Jesus will be called away, and the others will be left behind. But if you would, and I want to share a message with you this morning called The Little Ships. The Little Ships. If you would stand with me, we start reading. I want to start at verse 35 in Mark chapter 4. And the same day when the even was come, and he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and grace. And Father, I ask you to bless this sermon. I ask you to touch the old preacher boy. Anoint me from up on high. And God, you'd use me according to your perfect will. And Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit that you'd accomplish your goal for this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to spend the next few minutes talking about the little ships. The Sea of Galilee, probably about 14 miles long and 6 to 9 miles wide. Not very deep. The deepest part, most of it's between 80 and 120 foot. Some of it is as places, I think they say, as deep as 200 foot deep. And there's, at the Golan Heights, there's a mountain that goes up, it's 2,000 feet. The Sea of Galilee is probably approximately 600, 680 foot below sea level of the Mediterranean Sea. This mountain exceeds up to 2,000 foot. And the weather and the temperature down around the Sea of Galilee is kind of tropical. It's a moist air, and the air from up on the mountain is a dry, cool air. Now what happens in a hurricane when the air goes over that moist water? Remember the hurricanes, they say what filled the one up? It was good, warm water, and it give the power. Sometimes these winds dash off that mountain, 2,000 in them ravines, 2,000 foot, and when that cool air hits this air, whoo, it makes a storm out on that little lake. They said in 1992 that there was one of these storms come up, I think it was in March of 1992, and said it sent 10-foot waves into the town of Tiberias, flooding with this water running down the street. That is how powerful that these storms are. You think of 14 foot, 7 foot, I mean 14 miles and 7 miles, you know, but they could, treacherous. Even to this day, they won't get out. If there's any chance of any weather, that I read this yesterday, that the sailors won't get too far out in there because they won't, because it comes that fast. This was happening. This is what happened with Jesus and the disciples. And so often we're sailing, and we're sailing on this ship, this life now. And we're going through the sea of life. And as we're sailing, boy, they sometimes these storms roll in, don't they? I've heard it said we're either going in one, going out of one, or getting ready to go in one. In it, going in it, or coming out, usually. But I wanted to share some of them facts. Here in verse 36, the Bible says that about halfway through it, it says, they took him even as he was in the ship. See, that's a problem that we have in 2017. Folks don't want to take Jesus as he is. He's not politically correct. He says he's the only way, and the folks has got a problem with that. And I like that. They said they took him in the ship even as he was. They didn't do nothing different. They didn't say, well, you need to go change or you need to go get this. They said Jesus, he had been in the ship preaching. They said, Jesus, we like you just like you are. We'll take you just like you are, and we want you to be the Lord of our ship. I'm so glad that several years ago I made that decision and I said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my ship. I'll take you just like you are. I'll take you and I want you to control my life and I want you to direct my life and I want to be in the wheel. I'll take you like you are. Best decision ever made. Glory, hallelujah. I like him, Jim. I like the things he does for me. I like the decisions he's made. I like what he's done to prove that he's my Savior and he loves me. Amen. So often, folks put him in a box, which is called entitlement. He put him in a box and they said, Lord, we want you to bless us. Bless what we do. Bless our family. Bless our children. We want our parents to die in peace. Bless our finances. Take care of all of our needs. And then when he don't, we quit trusting him. We want him to be a good luck charm and bring good luck to our lives, and our kids get into the right college and this and that, and it don't work that way, does it? Amen. See, Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that's the way we have to accept him, as the Lord of all. When he went out in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the disciples, said, can't you pray with me? Can't you pray just 1 hour? Can't you be with me just a little while? You know, it's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus period. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. There's no debate of that. You either accept him as he is and what he is and cling to that, or you're not his child. He was wounded for our transgressions. See, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he went a little farther. Boy, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad he went a little farther. He not only went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he went to Pilate's hall. He went a little further for me. In Pilate's hall, he took my beating. In Pilate's hall, he took the wrath. He took the chastisement for my peace. He took the stripes for my healing. All of this was done because he went a little further. Then he went a little further, and he went up Mount Calvary. And he took the punishment for my sins and gave his precious blood and to atone, as the days of the Day of Atonement was the only time of the year that the Jewish priest could go into the Holy of Holies and they would take the blood and take in. Jesus gave his precious blood on Mount Calvary for my sins. Amen. I'm glad he went a little further. He went on a little further and he went to a tomb. He went and borrowed it. Jesus always gave back what he borrowed. He went and borrowed a tomb. And then 3 days later, he came out of it. He went a little farther. Glory, hallelujah. He came out of there, conquered death, hell, and the grave. And then he went a little farther. Praise the Lord. And then he was called away on a cloud into the glory. Boy, but I'm glad the trip ain't over. I'm glad he's going to go a little further and come back, ain't you? Amen. Glory, hallelujah. And he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and he's not a good moral teacher. That's not a debatable. You either take him as God and Lord of all, or you don't take him as nothing. Amen. But verse 36 goes on to say, but there were other little ships. See, Jesus was in the boat with the big ship. Now, he couldn't be in the boat of all of them. He wasn't in the boat with these little ships. And we here this morning, and I hope most of us are, I hope all of us are, I'm sure most are, that we have Jesus in our boat. What's the best decision we ever make? When we get Jesus in the boat. He's in the boat with us today. See, but these little ships, you think they was watching the big ship that day? I believe they had their eyes on to see what was happening. These little ships were watching. See, these little ships is your grandkids, is your children, is your neighbors, is the guy that pumps gas, is the one that bags your groceries, is the one that you work with, one that you ride to work with, one that you go hunting with, the one that you fish with, one that you go bowling with. These are the little ships. Do they have Jesus in the boat? See, when he's not, they're watching you and me. See, they're watching us in the storms. They see how we handle storms. They see how we react when the waves go to beating in. They're watching. They watch us in the sunshine. They watch us in our amusement, how we play. Do we win well? Do we lose well? We all win good, most people. It's a lot of time we get pooch lip and we lose, don't we? They're watching us. They're watching us in the sanctuary. They watch how we react. They watch how we worship, how we praise the Lord. I heard of a family that's going around. Had went to church and they was going home one Sunday morning, and Mom and Dad, when Junior was sitting in the back, Mom and Dad was, they chewed up the preacher and spit him out, chewed up the song leader, spit him out. Sunday school teacher wasn't no good. Little boy in the back, and they said, what'd you think? And he said, I thought it was a pretty good show for a dime. But they're watching us. How we worship and praise and follow the Lord. They're watching us in secret. Some things we think, nobody will never know it. They're watching. They're watching inner struggles. You know, that day when the water started coming in and the disciples started bailing out water, I tell you, when we go to bailing water, if we're not careful, when those little ships get up real close to us, we'll bail water out of our boat right into theirs. We've got to be careful where we bail our water to, because those little ships are watching. Those little ships are got their eyes peeled of what's going on in our lives. See, if we're not real careful, we'll throw the baby out the bathwater. The Bible goes on to say in verse 37, it's a great storm come. And the waves beat in and beat the water, and the boat was now full. Did you get that? And I kind of did some research on that word full. You know what that means? This is what it says. It's full. The boat was full. What's that mean? It should have been at the bottom of the lake. But Jesus was in the boat. Glory, hallelujah. I think that's why he said, why are you so fearful? Why do you not have any faith? The boat should have been down. It wasn't, because I was there with you. I was there holding your hand. I was there with you every step of the way.
Amen.
See what happens in these storms, and I've heard it said so many times, and I've never found it in the Bible. The Lord said he won't put more on you than you can stand. I've never read it. Be honest with you, there's been more on me than I could stand. That's when I run to him. The disciples that day, was this more than they could handle? Sure it was. They'd bailed till they couldn't bail no more. They said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to be at the bottom of this lake? But boy, 39, it says, but there's a great calm. The calm that only comes through serving the Lord. The calm that only comes when we on him. The calm that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad this morning of that? Boy, I tell you what, I could preach and get us so fired up here this morning about the goodness and what we've got because Jesus is in the boat. But I'm going to turn and go the other way. See, we have the blessings of God. We're on our way to heaven. But what about the little ships? Chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. Did the little ships make it? I don't know. I can't tell you yes or no from what it's written here. I study. Some commentary said, oh yeah, this is a sign, and another said, no, they didn't. So I don't know. I'm raising the question this morning. I don't have the answer, but what about the little ships? Did they make it? What about the little ships that's watching us? What about these little girls that comes to church with us? And little Maverick? What about my nephew? What about them guys I work with? Are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? What about the little ships? See, we can be content with being saved. Glory, hallelujah. We praise the Lord in the songs we sung about going home and Jesus in heaven. How glorious. What about the little ships? Where are they going to wind up? Where the sea comes and the waves start rolling and it's big and there's no way to make it without the Lord, where are they going to wind up? God's broke my heart with this more than once. What about these? What about that neighbor that made you a cake? And don't ever forget your birthday. What about that co-worker that's always got a nice word to say that they don't know the Lord? Where are they going to wind up when it comes judgment day? Where's these little children going to wind up that comes through the doors and goes out and out into the world? What about the little ships? Amos 8:1 says, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit." And he said, "Amos, what seest thou?" And I said, "A basket of summer fruit." Then said the Lord unto me, "The end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not pass by them anymore." See, the time God had sent them prophets and warned Israel. Now time had come for judgment. And the thought about this basket of summer fruit, and boy, it's running empty now, isn't it? See, you don't pick tomatoes in August and September and eat them in February, do you? We've got a little small window. Summer fruit's just a little. That's what really jumped out at me in that passage. Summer fruit, you just got a little small window. Them watermelons don't last forever, do they? With our folks we're around, we've got a small window. We've got to take advantage. See, we personally, we've got to take full advantage. But I'm telling you, as a church, we're right now getting ready to kick off into some different areas and doing different ways. We're going to rework and doing things in our Sunday school and our youth and our children's church. And we're going to go with a different program and just different things. And I tell you, folks, and I think the Lord just worked this out in this message to be right at the right time, that we've got a small window. We've just got a small opportunity that will reach some folks that may not come a whole lot. We may not have a great deal of time. We've got to be proactive, and we got to get busy and get concerned and get serious about the things of God. Amen. We just got a small window. Jeremiah 8:20 said, "The harvest is past and the summer is ended, and we're not saved." What about the little ships? Are they going to make it? Is Jesus in your boat this morning? What about Johnny and Susie? Is he in their boat? Is he the Lord of their lives? What about Aunt Sally and Uncle Fred? Neighbor George? Is God number one in their lives? They're watching us. They know what we're doing. I'd sure hate for it to be said, "Why didn't you tell me about it?" Ezekiel 22:30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Boy, that's sad. "But I found none." Who is it that we need to stand in the gap for today? Who is it? I tell you what, folks, and I'm going to get a little deeper into it, but today when judgment comes, that a lot of these things that we have concerned ourselves about, that we have beat ourselves to death over, ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. Amen. It won't matter when the flames burn it down, and when judgment comes, all that's going to matter is that it's Johnny or Susie and got Jesus in the boat. We love these little fellers. We'll buy them their little cowboy outfits. We'll buy them their little ballerina dresses. We'll gussy them up real good at Easter. Boy, they got gifts at Christmas, and birthdays are fabulous. But what about their souls? What are they going to wind up in eternity? All this other stuff ain't going to matter. I think about the little ones in my life, and that just worries me to death, Janice. Where are they going to wind up? Who's going to stand in the gap for them? If me and you don't do it, nobody will. The devil's not going to have mercy on them. Will they make it? I guarantee you, during this message, there's some faces come to your mind. Is that face going to make it? Are they going to get Jesus in the boat before it's too late? Are they going to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I've never known you"? I want you to turn to the book of Genesis with me, if you would. Genesis chapter 19. Starting at verse 12. The Bible says, And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, and take thy wife and thy two daughters." And I want you to look at these next three words. I've got it highlighted and underlined in my Bible. "Which are here. Take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Over in the book of Luke, the Bible said, and Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." What happened to Lot's wife? She looked back, didn't she? And turned to a pillar of salt. You ever wondered why she looked back? A lot of commentators, a lot of folks will say she really liked the wicked ways. I don't believe that is it. I'm going to use today terminology just a minute. The day before, or 2 days before, she may have been down Sodom's Walmart buying a little birthday gift, a little cowboy hat and little guns and holsters for little Johnny that didn't make it out of the city. I think she left family in there. I think she left family. And the thoughts of it just killed her when she was going out of that city. She couldn't help but look back. Maybe been babysitting the day or two before. Had them little fellers on her knees. And seen God's judgment come and sweep the city up. Folks, it's serious business. And sometimes you may say, "I don't like what the preacher's doing." I don't like the way he does things. Well, just talk to me about it. We'll work through it. That don't matter. I don't care how we get there, as long as we get there.
Amen.
Amen. It ain't about us. It ain't about the preacher being right. It ain't about such and such doing it this way and that way. And it don't matter. What matters is we get them under the blood of Jesus Christ, and they get Jesus in the boat, and they get to go to heaven one glorious day. Worried about us, and we start thinking about judgment, and we start thinking about folk that's going to go to hell.
Amen.
Isaiah 66 and verse 24 says, this is the imagery. You could stand in Jerusalem, and they said, and look in the valley of Hinnom. And the valley of Hinnom was like the dump. And they would burn the carcasses of animals, and it was a continual burning. And they used to sacrifice some of their children in there. And this is the imagery of looking from Jerusalem down on Hinnom. But I'm convinced it's of looking into the pits of hell one day. And the Bible says, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrent unto all flesh. What about little Johnny and Susie that we worship? We'll spend our finances to be sure they have a great birthday party. And they wind up in hell, and we watch them throw them into the hell and say, depart from me, I never knew you. I think we're going to feel a lot like Lot's wife did that day. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What about it? What about the little ships? Are they going to make it? And what are we going to? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for your blessings. And I thank you, Father, that you have made salvation free to all of us. And Lord, if there be one here today that don't know you, this would be the day they'd call upon your name and ask you to come into their heart. And Lord, hell's a real place. But Father, I pray, I thank you for saving me. And I thank you for salvation for all of us that's saved. But Lord, we've got some loved ones that don't know you. We got some loved ones that, Lord, we're afraid might not make it. Some of my best friends and some people that I think so much of that I'm not sure it's going to make it. God, I pray the day that you'll break our hearts, Lord, that we would